May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Well, Ladder 6, a company of the New York City Fire Department, participated in one of the great miracle stories of September 11th, 2001, when our country was under attack. It seems these seven firemen helped a 69-year-old woman by the name of Josephine down from the 73rd floor of one of the World Trade Center towers. The brave men, already laboring under 110 pounds of equipment on their backs, led Josephine step by step down the staircase. At times she was ready to give up, but they helped, encouraged, inspired, and assured her that she would indeed make it. They were like angels to me, she said. One floor at a time, they got her down until finally she just couldn't walk anymore and just sat down. And they heard suddenly, though, at that time, the floor shake beneath them and the floors gave way under the tremendous weight of a collapsing building at that moment. And they were hurtled down with terrific force and enveloped in a suffocating cloud of pitch black smoke. One of them even prayed, God, if this is it, please let it be quick. But as the noise lessened and the smoke began to clear, they found that they had settled over the rubble of the caved-in floors below them. Miraculously, Josephine had refused to go any further at the very point where that beneath them remained intact as the building fell. All seven firemen plus Josephine were eventually brought into the daylight of safety. Had we continued descending when we were pleading with her to keep moving, they said, we would have been killed by the crush of the floors above us. One of them added, Josephine was really the one that was like an angel sent from God to stop us from that so that we could be safe. Well, those firemen on mission to rescue and comfort ended up themselves in need of someone who comforted them. And indeed, they received it in the form of this wonderful woman, Josephine, whom they called an angel. Well, in many ways, this is the message for our gospel on this Sunday, which is the Sunday after Ascension Day. Last Thursday, we celebrated that magnificent day called Ascension Day, the Feast of the Ascension that we confess in the creeds. Whether we realize it or not, we embrace Christ as ruler and king of the universe when we say in the Catholic creeds, seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. For Christ to take his honored place means he alone is king over all. The ancient icons call him Pantocrator, which means ruler of all. This holy day of obligation, Ascension Day, therefore culminates the triumph of Jesus Christ through his death and resurrection with the full victory of heaven as he ascends and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. But Christ is not alone. He leads us into heaven. He opens the kingdom of heaven as we confess in the oldest hymn of the church, the Te Deum Laudamus. We participate in its triumph and rule as well. The ascension of Jesus Christ declares the victory of God. The good guys do win. They do win because Jesus Christ has already won. Yet when Jesus Christ tells his disciples about going away at the ascension, well, it raises a big question for them. The one main concern that Christ has to address is, so how will we, the disciples, who are sent to comfort the world with the good news of Jesus Christ, how will we do this without Jesus? After all, he says he's going into heaven. So Jesus gives his disciples the message that you find in the gospel reading for this day from John 15, 26 and following. And he tells them that when I ascend into heaven, the Comforter will come, whom I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. And you also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. And he goes on to say, and they are going to persecute you. They're going to drive you out of the synagogues. They're going to persecute you the way they did me. And the point is, but I am sending you a comforter, someone who is going to comfort those who are called to comfort the world. Like those firemen from Company Ladder 6, the disciples will need their Josephine, and he will be in the person of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, bringing something, his person, to the disciples in a way that they are going to be comforted. And so we anticipate this. Christ goes into heaven, and yet, mystery of mysteries, he'll not be gone. He sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, yet he's with us. In some inextricable sense, he's told his disciples he'd still be with them, as he promised. He would never leave them nor forsake them. This is a great holy mystery. C.S. Lewis had something like this in mind in his great children's story in that Chronicles of Narnia series, in the story about called The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. Well, in the tale, Lucy has been desperately seeking the presence of Aslan, whom she perceives as gone from her, when suddenly Aslan appears right before her. And she says, "Oh, Aslan, it was kind of you to come." And Aslan says, "I have been here all the time, but you have just made me visible." "Aslan," said Lucy, almost a little reproachfully, "don't make fun of me, as if anything I could do would make you visible." "But you did," said Aslan. "Do you think I wouldn't obey my own rules?" "What are the rules? You will seek me and find me, and when you seek for me with all your heart, I will be there." There is more to Jesus' message about the way in which the Comforter makes Christ visible and comforts. When the Holy Spirit comes, so what does the Holy Spirit do when he shows up? We're going to celebrate it next Sunday. He creates the church. That's the major work of the Holy Spirit outside of the incarnation of Jesus Christ himself. In fact, the church is the continuation of the incarnation. Hopefully we'll wear red next Sunday somewhere on our person, so commemorating the fire of the Holy Spirit who comes at Pentecost, Whit Sunday. Because as Christians, we recognize that the church, whom Scripture calls our mother, was created by the work of the Holy Spirit. He who comforts raises up the church. Well, on this day, we're reminded that the church is indeed our mother, in a special way, as it happens to fall on Mother's Day. There is nothing like the comfort of a mother. The role of mother is constantly to comfort. And one thing about mother, if the whole world turns against you, your mother is there for you. I mean, I've often said, you know, I go around and speak a lot, and people come up with these fantastic, almost mythical introductions for me when I speak. And I often say, "Thank you, and thank you for consulting with my mother on that introduction." Because mother is always there. Jesus Christ gave that message to his disciples. The Holy Spirit would come, the Comforter. And what does the Holy Spirit do? He creates a mother for us like none other, and it is called the church. Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, through the church, comforts us. We find Christ our friend in the midst of the church. Well, in church history, holy tradition tells us that of what happened to this man, Lazarus, in Scripture, whom Jesus raised from the dead. Remember, he was in the tomb 4 days, and rigor mortis had set in. Well, holy tradition tells us that under the persecution moments in the early church, that same Lazarus fled and was driven to the island of Cyprus. And it was there that Paul and Barnabas made him bishop of Kidion, which is Larnaca today. 1,000 years ago, the tomb where Lazarus was buried the second time was excavated. The inscription found on this tomb reads, "Lazarus, Bishop of Larnaca, 4 days dead, friend of Jesus." Christ is our friend. He sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty as Pentecostor, King, ruler of all. And yet he sends us the Holy Spirit to raise up the church, our mother, to comfort us, those of us called into the world to comfort the comfortless by the same power of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "It's more blessed to give than to receive."